This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Who should you draft? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is my favorite couple, Derrickson, Andrew Erickson, and Derek Brown, here to break it all down with you here on the podcast on Fantasy Pros. And today, the subject is, who should I draft? Which is the question, after all. That's why we're here. I mean, why else are we doing all these shows, all these podcasts, all these articles, all these rankings, if not to figure that out? Who should I draft? That's the question we're going to try to resolve today and answer for you. We're going to go round by round. I'm going to throw out a little would you rather or who should I draft at the two boys here today, and they're going to give their opinions. They might be the same. They might be different. We don't know. We'll just have to wait and find out. So hopefully you are ready, buckled in, and all set for today's wham-bam episode of Who Should I Draft? And of course, when you're preparing for all of your fantasy drafts, we've got the new tool that's sweeping the nation. I've been reading the reviews online. True story. I'm reading reviews on Twitter. People are tweeting at us about it. People are talking about it. Draft Intel is changing the universe. I mean, like, you know, just at least the fantasy universe, because if you go to fantasybros.com/draft intel, this new tool that we have, which is free, by the way, basically goes into your leagues, plural with the S at the end, your leagues. And it can tell you all the tendencies and the analysis for all the draft patterns for everyone that you play against, which basically gives you the blueprint to draft against your friends, your enemies, all of your league mates, and dominate all of your drafts. And if you're a premium subscriber, you can even use those robots to then mock draft. So you can train yourself to draft against those same tendencies. It's unbelievable. I don't do it justice just talking about it on the show. Go check out Draft Intel at fantasypros.com/draft intel. Check it out. You will be pleasantly surprised. I guarantee it. And if you want to upgrade to that free premium product, this is the time. If you go to fantasypros.com/offers, where you can go ahead and do that as well. Again, you go and you just look for one of our partner sites you feel comfortable with. You make a small deposit there and you get 6 free months of our premium product that gets you the in-season tools. That gets you access to the entire draft kit, the entire draft intel, my playbook, stages, and AMAs, and all the fun stuff we do on our Discord. I mean, and it's all for free. 6 months. That's all you got to get. Come on, go to fantasypros.com/offers and go get it right now. Gentlemen, I hope you're ready to get it. I know Erickson had another wedding this weekend, so this is good for you, Erickson, because you're training eventually for your own. So I want to ask you, how is your chicken dance coming?
My chicken dance. I don't know what that is. I don't do the chicken dance. I do the gritty. I do all the modern dances, and I'm a big fan of the shout. Big fan of that dance.
The shout. Are you going to do that on the show today? Because that'd be fun. I kind of like to see that.
I mean, if I'm hyped up about one of the players we're drafting, I know that his name is going to come up. So maybe I will bring the volume.
Ooh, there we go. And Derek Brown, I would say that, you know, if we hit a certain plateau of YouTube subscribers, maybe we all do this dance, and maybe Erickson teaches it to us on the YouTube channel. What do you think? I think that would drive some more traction, right?
The gritty, the worm, all these things need to be recorded. I will probably only do them once because I'll end up throwing my back out, yeah, or I'll end up pulling something because, you know, old problems, Joe. Yes. But I'm down for it. I'm down for it. Can't say I'll make it through it, but I'm down for it.
Well, the worm is an old day. I mean, the worm is ancient. You know, that's
still
an old
it's, day. I think it's still relevant. I mean, come it's, on.
I mean, well, Andrew, we have to ask Andrew, heard of the worm. Andrew, is the worm still relevant?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. See?
But the chicken dance, not so much.
I'm not that much of a boomer.
No. So. What about the electric slide? You guys do that at the wedding or no?
Never heard of it.
Never. Such a liar.
I slide straight over to the open bar. Better. That's the only electricity I see.
Yep. Oh, goodness gracious. All right, let's get to the football, everybody. Like I said, today we're going to be doing a little bit of Who Should I Draft? And today's show, of course, is powered by the Who Should I Draft tool at fantasypros.com/draft. And you can select up to 4 players at any position and get instant advice on who you should draft. It's another one of our fantastic tools at Fantasy Pros. And look, if you watch the shows and you're hanging out with us, you're listening to the pods, I mean, just go over and check some of these things out if you never have. I'm telling you, it's really going to make your whole experience much easier, much better, more streamlined. And of course, you know, what we're trying to do here is give you all the tools you could possibly use to be successful in fantasy football. And that's why we're here. And one of them is the show. And 2 of them are these 2 guys right here who are going to help us decide some really important questions. We're going to go round by round here. We'll start with round 1. I'm going to start with 2 running backs here. Sometimes these guys vary draft to draft where they get selected. They're both round 1 running backs. One is Dalvin Cook, who annually misses a few games here and there. And then there's Joe Mixon of the Cincinnati Bengals, who had a great season last year, terrific all-purpose. He's also missed some time in his career, too. 2 backs, good offenses, good situations, coming off good seasons. Andrew Erickson, let's start with you. Dancing Machine, who would you rather have, Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon? Who should you draft?
I'm going with Dalvin Cook because I want to catch this guy that's going to score the touchdowns next season, not the guy that scored the touchdowns last year, because that's what Mixon had. You know, that's why his production was so good, because he scored a boatload of touchdowns. Dalvin Cook, 15 goal line carries, ranked 4th last year. 3 turned into touchdowns. He had 6 touchdowns overall. 2 years prior, he was averaging 16 touchdowns. So again, it's why I like Cook as a top 3 running back, because I think that he's going to bounce back in the touchdown category. And everything else being kind of equal, you know, Cook in a good offense, Mixon in a good offense, they're both bell cow backs. I also think Cook probably has a little bit more upside as a receiver than Joe Mixon does. So for those reasons, I'm in on Cook over Mixon.
All right. You're living in the future, not the past. I like that. It's very good. It's almost like a confusing X-Men movie. Derek Brown, can you please tell us, who would you rather draft, Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon?
I'm totally on with hopping straight to the future. Let's crank up the DeLorean. Let's get it going. Yep.
And I'm wearing my Back to the Future shirt today. Yes. For those who are looking, you know, just staying on brand with the futuristic here.
I mean, it's all Dalvin for me. I mean, all the points that Erickson made, and I also want to throw in there, like, these are both going to be similarly, like, good offenses. But I think that if we're looking, at least from a top-down perspective, I think the Vikings are going to be a more up-paced team than the Bengals. I just don't trust Zach Taylor. So regression, pass game involvement, because we know at this point, Joe Mixon's not going to get that. Not the full all-world pass game role that everybody keeps hoping for, because honestly, he has not been an efficient receiver in the NFL. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. So yeah, for me, this is a slam dunk. It's easily Dalvin Cook for me.
All right. All 3 of us in accord. I say Dalvin Cook as well. So there you have it. If they're both on the board, Dalvin Cook is who you should draft. That was easy. Maybe we started a little too easy. Maybe we get a little tougher here. Let's go to round 2 of this battle. Derek Brown, we'll start with you on this one. Saquon Barkley coming off another disappointing season, or Leonard Fournette? Lenny Fournette on a good offense with Tom Brady, who is ready yet again to buck the trends in another really productive year in 2021. So I understand we're trying to look ahead and we're playing for 2022, but how do you sparse these 2? What do you do here? Saquon or Leonard Fournette, who do you draft?
I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley, and this might surprise people, but it really shouldn't, because if you're around Fantasy Pros, you've been looking at my ranks. Barkley is a tier 2 running back. He's RB5 for me. I think he has really good upside to be the RB1 overall, and I get the context of these 2 offenses. I understand that Fournette's going to run a lot of pass routes, but Barkley is legitimately explosive. He's going to play 80% plus, if not more, of the snaps. I think that he's the upside swing. He is the guy that I'm going to target, and my rankings reflect so, and I'm just going to keep following suit.
All right, so Saquon Barkley gets one vote. Andrew Erickson, round two. Who gets your vote? Is it Saquon? Is it Leonard Fournette? Where are we going?
Asked me this question 2 months ago, and I would have said Leonard Fournette, but I've just been impressed what I've seen with Barkley so far with his health, and that's who I'm going with. I'm going with Saquon Barkley. Look at him last year, 13 red zone touches all year long.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no way that's going to happen again. It can't be that low. And even with his lack of red zone usage, you know, there was a part where a stretch of games when he was healthy with Daniel Jones, he was a top 10 running back in PPR. So I think last year, you know, last year was the year to be on Fournette. And this year, it's time to be on Saquon Barkley. Like, this is the year he's going to bounce back. He's an impending free agent. The Giants have all the reason in the world to ride him into the ground. So I love Saquon Barkley. I'm taking him over Fournette. Just, I want to take the 25-year-old running back with a ton of talent versus a older veteran. And the Buccaneers have way more competition in that backfield than the Giants do. So I'm going with Barkley.
All right. You know, it's funny the way you put it, Andrew, which was, if you asked me a few months ago, I would have taken Leonard Fournette. I've come around on the Saquon Barkley lately, too. I feel like it's time to swing for the fences a little bit. And for me, this is the spot in round two where I'm more willing to do that than I am in round one. And I've been the guy who's been down on McCaffrey, down on a few other players. Not for Saquon in round two. That's a swing that I understand it makes sense. And then you could back it up right afterwards. So once again, 3-for-3. I thought we would get off to a more disagreeable start, which I know makes better ratings, but look, we want to give you the right answers here. So let's go with another one. Let's go with another pair of running backs, and then we're going to change course to some wide receivers. Round three running backs. James Conner, coming off a stunning season. Talk about living in the past and unrepeatable touchdowns. James Conner might be the poster child for that. And then we have Ezekiel Elliott, who certainly did not look like the Zeke of old, but finds himself in a much more reliable setting. So Andrew Erickson, are you taking the reliable setting Ezekiel Elliott at lesser strength, or are you taking off the glorious everything broke right for James Conner last year and let's ride it over into 2022? Who should you draft, Conner or Zeke?
Well, considering Zeke is the poster boy of every bust article that I've written at Fantasy Pros, it's not going to be him. I'm going to go with James Conner. I think that he still has top five upside when you look at him. Without Chase Edmonds in the lineup last year, RB1, RB16, RB8, RB11, RB2, RB3. Like, he was a certified stud. And he's not perfect. You know, there is question marks about the receiving role. Will Darrell Williams or Eno Benjamin take on a larger role like Chase Edmonds was last year? Yes, that's problematic. But he's still the clear-cut guy. Like, I know that he's still the best running back on his team. And I think that's honestly enough for me to justify Conner over Zeke. Because, let's be honest, he's not the best running back on his team.
All right, Derek Brown, let's go to you for this one. Who would you rather draft, Ezekiel Elliott or James Conner? Same setup, same deal. You know the score. Give me the answer.
I'm going to go with James Conner as well. I mean, one of these guys I have ranked as a top 12 running back. One of them I do not. And I love the point that Erickson brought up. It was the same thing I was going to hit on here, is that I think James Conner is far and away the best running back on that team. And we also need to zoom out a little bit and talk about that, how Chase Edmonds was more of a threat to his workload last year, and we saw what Conner did. If there's lesser threats in that backfield right now, because I'm sorry, Darrell Williams is a jag. Eno Benjamin, even if he takes this RB2 role, has not been hyper efficient in his NFL career. Chase Edmonds has. And Tony Pollard is going to factor in here, regardless of what anybody thinks. I understand that, you know, Jerry wants to run Zeke into the ground. That's great. That's grand. I think as long as he's healthy, that happens. But Tony Pollard can eat into his pass game role easily. That could easily happen on this team. And I know that Zeke is a good pass blocker, but I'm going to go with Conner. We've seen top five upside from him. I'm going to ride it.
All right. I love you both dearly from the bottom of my heart, but you know what? I've got to make the show a little bit more interesting today. Let's go with Zeke. Let's go. This guy's never not finished as an RB1. So I just want to put that out there, his entire career, even last year when things weren't so great. Now, I trust the Dallas offense more than I trust all of what happens anytime with Cliff Kingsbury. And I guess where I'm at is when I'm looking at these guys who are more RB2s anyway, do I want to take the guy that I'm just kind of feel safe about? Or do I want to take the guy last year with James Conner, who, again, has a long story, history of injuries himself, missing times, all of that touchdown equity that he had last year? You cannot bank on that. Your guys are completely right that he absolutely does have, I would say, that moniker of best running back in that team, no doubt about it, on that roster. But I think at the end of the day, if I'm looking for RB2 who's going to kind of lock in and I know what I'm getting there, I think I'm going to prefer Zeke. And it's so close. It's very close for me, but I got to throw a wrench in here. This machine's going way too easy. Way too well oiled here today. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Buffalo Wild Wings. The best place to host your fantasy draft this year is at Buffalo Wild Wings. Book now in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy and get half off on all the bar food appetizers during your draft party. That includes nachos, buffalo chicken tots, everything pretzel knots, mozzarella sticks, fried pickles, you name it, they got it. Buffalo Wild Wings has great deals on beers too. $3 tall house beers, $4 domestic beers of the month, and $5 craft beers. This year, Buffalo Wild Wings is also putting together the League Loser Package. That's right. The League Losers are going to be on the hot seat. The first 20 draft parties at each Buffalo Wild Wings location gets a fantasy football punishment pack. And in that punishment pack, you're going to get 6 free boneless wings with the hottest sauce ever blazing. And a bib to wear that says last place in big letters so the whole bar will know just how bad that person is at fantasy football. Plus a certificate of underachievement that's worthy of being framed. Not to mention free coupons for the whole league to come back during the football season. So don't forget to book in advance at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Again, that's buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. Spots fill up fast. Make sure you grab one for draft day before they're gone. And now back to the action. All right, let's go with round four. Let's do a couple wide receivers and switch gears here. Round four is some names that certainly people are, I would say, don't quite view as wide receiver ones, but they're right on that fringe. Round four, Jalen Waddle or Terry McLaurin. D-Bro, let's start with you with this one. Look, Terry McLaurin obviously has had some really good runs here with some subpar quarterback play. Theoretically, you're getting better quarterback play, but certainly not an enormous upgrade with Carson Wentz. And then Jalen Waddle now has a little bit more competition for targets. So it's kind of tough to delineate between these two. How do you do it and who do you draft?
I have them ranked incredibly close. Like Waddle was at wide receiver 16, and unfortunately McLaurin is at wide receiver 18. So I'm going to lean with Jalen Waddle in this. And this is, it's a lot of different things. One, I believe the quarterback play is going to be much, much better in South Beach. I am, everybody that's tuned into the show knows how much I love Tua, but also we need to also understand the second year wide receiver models here. Jalen Waddle balled out in his rookie season. If we see him take a step, another step in his second year, he could outpace Tyreek Hill in this passing attack, which is consolidated. There's upside, and I'm betting on talent, and I'm betting on better quarterback play. Give me Waddle.
All right, Waddle for Derek Brown. Andrew Erickson, Waddle or Terry McLaurin for you? Who do you draft?
I'm also going with Jalen Waddle here. You look at McLaurin throughout his NFL career so far, not great quarterback play, but he's been wide receiver too, you know, in fantasy. Even though he's been productive, he's never really hit the wide receiver one spectrum. Waddle almost did that last year in his first year as a rookie. And he also broke the receptions record. I just think this is so obvious. Like with two receivers where you're like, maybe you're not excited about either quarterback, then just pick the best guy. I think it can be really that simple. And for me, it's clearly Jalen Waddle, a first round pick who was phenomenal in his first year as a wide receiver in the NFL. So I think it's easily Waddle for me.
Once again, I like to throw wrenches into things, but I just can't. I can't. They're very close in ADP, but not in my heart. It's Jalen Waddle all day long. I think there's a chance that Jalen Waddle ends up with more PPR points than Tyreek Hill at the end of the day. The consistency level, the floor he brings you every week. Just because Tyreek Hill is there to make plays doesn't mean that Jalen Waddle just disappears in this offense. I think people need to recognize that and understand it. Give him a little bit more respect. Put some respect on his name, for goodness gracious. All right. Let's do another round here. Round five. This one's going to get a little spicier now. So I feel like the last couple were kind of easy for the most part. We set it up there. Now we're really going to start things rolling here because I'm going to put out one of my colleagues' favorite names and then one of my favorite names as well. And now the battle's going to begin. Andrew Erickson, we are here. It is round five. Cortland Sutton's on the board and Mike Williams is on the board. Who would you rather draft?
Stop. Why are you asking me this question?
You know I'm asking you question. Because I think we should talk about it. That's
it's Cortland
why.
Sutton. It's easy. Easy answer. But I will say, so full disclosure, so I was in a draft where I took Mike Williams in round four, mm-hmm. and then I drafted Cortland Sutton in round five. So there is a opportunity where you can get both guys based on what ADP you're drafting on. So as high as I am on Cortland Sutton, I know that there are some ADP platforms that have him below Jerry Jeudy. So you have to be smart about where you're ranking some of these players so you can get potentially both guys that you want.
Well, that's one of those things I always tell people too, which is make sure you look at your host site, whatever it is, and look at your personal ranks or the ranks of people you want to use. You want to use our cheat sheet creator here, whatever you decide is the rankings you want to go in to draft off of, or even if you're using like our sync tool or things like that at Fantasy Pros to go right to your draft and sync all that up so you can see in real time the difference. But the difference is how you get value. That's how you do what Andrew's saying, which is go ahead and take one of these guys one round and one the other, because you could take advantage of some of these ESPN, Yahoo, different places and the different ADPs they have. CBS is different, like even Sleeper. They all have varying ADPs on guys and a varying consensus. Derek Brown, I know you love Courtland Sutton too, but Mike Williams showed you last year for a few weeks. And I remember hearing Andrew Erickson last week tell me how he was one of the best wide receivers in football for the first month of the season. I don't know if I've ever said that about Courtland Sutton in any stretch. So Courtland Sutton or Mike Williams for you, Derek Brown?
You need to put more respect on Sutton's name. You need
to. I'm putting
to
a lot of respect on his name.
No. You There's just said he's never showed us this before. In 2019, Sutton was top 12 in yards per route run and top 13 in targets per route run. We have seen it, Joe. We have seen it. The
I think that's a new word
alpha.
You just made up.
I'm here for it. We have seen alpha upside from Courtland Sutton before, and I think we're going to see it again this year. So I'm going to go Sutton here. And this is not shade on Big Mike. I have both of them ranked as top 12 wide receivers right now in my rankings at Fantasy Pros. I'm going to flip this on its head just a little bit, because I know that you're probably going to go Big Mike here, but I want to bring up a quandary that was rattling around in my head as I'm looking at the show sheet here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to toss this back to you guys. Michael Pittman or Courtland Sutton, I think is a really interesting conversation as well.
No, that is interesting. Well, if you look right now, they're very closely clustered together. Pittman's usually ahead of Williams and mm-hmm. Sutton. And I think that's mostly because you don't have the Keenan Allen, you don't have the Jerry Jeudy. This is a tough one for me. Erickson, you want to jump in here first while I continue to think?
I mean, if they're all on the board with similar ADPs, I am taking Courtland Sutton. Like, that's the guy that I want more than any player. But I realize the ADP differences. Like, Pittman is usually a guy you have to draft in round three. So I'll take Pittman in round three. And we're talking about Courtland Sutton and Mike Williams as round five guys. So that's why mm-hmm. it's so important to understand where your ADP is. But, you know, if I'm only drafting, you know, one team and or their ADPs are similar on the certain site that I'm drafting, it's like, there's no value. I'm only going to be able to get one of these guys. And if I can only have one, I want Courtland Sutton.
Well, I think if I can only have one, I still want Mike Williams. I'm going to be out on that limb. I'm going to be out there. Who'd have thought I'm the guy out there by himself with some of these picks today? I never would have thought this. I thought Mike Williams and Sutton would have been at least a little bit more for you to think about, but I guess not. I look at the touchdown upside of Mike Williams. I look at the fact that Keenan Allen's another year older, and I'm looking at the progress that Justin Herbert has made in these first 2 years of his NFL career, which has been absolutely stunning. Every time you watch this kid go out there and play quarterback, he gets more and more comfortable. He looks better and better in big spots, and he can compete with the big boys. He's going to compete in these big time shootouts. He's also, I think, in the offense, Mike Williams, it's built a little bit more than Courtland Sutton, and where, you know, we have Pittman, even if you want to throw him in this mix in Indianapolis, they're a little bit more run heavy, I think. And I want the offense. It's a little bit more pass happy. And I think that's the Chargers. So give me Mike Williams, because I think at the end of the day, that's going to give me some bigger splash games. And I think Mike Williams at the end of the day is going to win more weeks for people than some of those other guys might. So I will roll the dice and take Mike Williams. Once again, these two guys agree on everything. Once in a while, I do as well, but not on this one. Give me Mike Williams. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Fantrax. Fantrax is the most customizable fantasy platform in the industry, offering the greatest fantasy experience for your Dynasty, Keeper, Redraft, and Best Ball leagues. Create or join a Fantasy Football Commissioner League, invite your friends, and dominate your draft this season. Go deep with the Ultimate Keeper and Dynasty Leagues. Create simple Redraft League or even a customizable Best Ball League with up to 2,000 teams. Fantrax's free NFL Fantasy Football League Manager is the most customizable, easy-to-use, and feature-rich platform in the industry. If you're coming from another service? Don't worry. Vantrax can import your current league and customize it as needed. Ever have a trade go wrong or make a mistake dropping a player? Vantrax Commissioner tools allow you to undo any move with one simple click. Among the most trusted names in fantasy sports since 2008, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, hockey, college basketball, college football, golf, soccer, even NASCAR, Vantrax is there. If there's anything lacking in your current fantasy league manager, Fantrax has it. Fantasy sports doesn't sleep, and neither does Fantrax, with seasons running 365 days a year. There's a reason why fantasy players who try Fantrax make it their permanent home for all of their fantasy leagues. Sign up for free today and be entered to win the Fantrax Game Day experience, where we'll send one lucky fantasy league to an NFL game of their choice, along with $6,000 towards travel. Simply go to Fantrax.com/fantasypros to sign up today. Again, that's Fantrax.com/fantasypros to enter that Fantrax Game Day experience. Fantrax, the home of fantasy sports. And now, back to the action. All right, let's see if we can get a little bit more Discord between us here in round 6 through 10. All right, round 6. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Steady Eddie, the guy who was there for everybody like a nice warm blanket at the end of last season, picked up off the waiver wire, plucked from there into starting rosters, went on an absolute tear for the last 8 weeks of the season. Or Gabriel Davis, the guy that did it right at the very end and then into the playoffs, the guy on the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen, where everybody gets super excited. Josh Allen versus Jared Goff. Certainly there's a big divide there, but in terms of ADP, not so much. They're both going in round 6. Andrew Erickson, would you rather draft Amon-Ra St. Brown or Gabriel Davis?
I would rather draft Gabriel Davis. You know, 20 fantasy points per game or nearly that over his last 6 starts as a full-time player in the Bills offense. So his role is going to change. So that's kind of what I'm buying more into versus ASB, where we're expecting him to have the role that he had at the end of last year. But now you're throwing in, he actually has more target competition. Gabriel Davis doesn't. Like, he has Stephon Diggs, but that's always been the case. But behind him, it's not nearly as bad. Whereas St. Brown, you have Hawkinson coming back. You have Swift coming back. You have Chark now involved. They draft Jameson Williams. Like, we haven't seen Amon-Ra St. Brown do it with those guys on the field. And we've seen Gabriel Davis be a monster with Stephon Diggs. And he has Josh Allen as his quarterback. So yeah, I'm going Gabriel Davis.
All right, Derek Brown, that's one vote for Gabriel Davis. Where's your vote going?
Count it for two for Gabriel Davis. And I get people want to push back against the hype. I understand it, but I'm going with the upside swing, and my rankings reflect this. And this is not shade against Amon-Ra St. Brown. Again, we've talked about, I think it was on the upside players episode. I like Amon-Ra St. Brown. The more that I've delved into his metrics, I like him as an upside play. What he showed down the stretch could be real this year. But also, we have a 2-year sample of Gabriel Davis being awesome in fantasy. And people are like, oh, well, the target percentage. Oh, well, he didn't break out and live up to the hype in the second year. Gabriel Davis has shown us elite efficiency at varying different degrees. In year one, he was one of the best deep threats in the game. Year two, 41% of his targets came in the intermediate range of the field. Passer ratings and targeted that part of the field and yards per route run were off the charts. So, Gabriel Davis has shown us he can be an elite deep threat, and he's awesome in the middle of the field. This year, he puts it all together in one of the league's best offenses, where Erickson talked about, it's him and Stephon Diggs. I'm sorry, like Jameson Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, y'all can fight it out in the slot. Gabriel Davis is not coming off the freaking field, people. And I'm believing in talent. So yes, I think he's going to put it all together. Give me toe drag swag, give me Gabe Davis, and let's go.
This is difficult for me because last year these were my two favorite late round picks, and I would usually get one or both of them on all of my teams and all of our mock drafts here last year. Fantasy Pros, a lot of Amon-Ra St. Brown, a lot of Gabe Davis, and unfortunately the first 8 weeks of the season, neither really worked out for me. So it was kind of upsetting. And now that I look here and we're having this conversation about the 6th round for these guys, it makes me realize it was just a little bit too early, and I want to be back in on both of these guys. So this is not a knock on Amon-Ra St. Brown, but it is more in support of Gabriel Davis and that Bills offense. Once again, I'm looking for that offense. I'm looking for that quarterback that can give me those bigger games out of the players. I feel like, D-Bro, we're going to get into a spot here in week 9 or 10, and we're going to say, man, too many people whiffed here on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, just taking the easy way out of, there was no Hawkinson. There was, you know, no other secondary wide receivers. Look at all this talent they brought in. Look at all the change. And I love Jameson Williams. Everybody knows I'm a Jameson Williams guy. But at the same time, what can we expect out of him in the first few weeks of the season? I don't know if he's even going to be there at all necessarily. Probably not. So I feel like the table is set for all of us to look back and go, everybody should have seen this coming, that what we saw last year was actually not a fluke. It was a trend. Do you feel like that's going to be where we end up to?
I think it's absolutely possible. And I think you can craft an easy, easy narrative to say that Amon-Ra St. Brown, if we stack up him and Gabe Davis, he might carry the most upside of the two, that being Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, if he reprises the role that he had last year, and that's what I, like, when I jumped into his numbers this offseason and I was writing up the Lions for my team series for the site, like, I mean, you were looking at a guy when he was balling out, he was eighth in yards per route run. He had one of the highest target per route run rates in the NFL. Like, if you stack that up against all the wide receivers over the entirety of the season, he would have been top 10. I think it was top 8 off the top of my head. And those are alpha type of numbers. So yes, like, you can craft a narrative where Amon-Ra St. Brown, if we're just stacking up the two of them right next to each other, and we're going for absolute total upside, and if Amon-Ra St. Brown reprises that type of role, he has top 5 wide receiver upside that he showed us last year, versus Gabriel Davis still has to contend with Stephon Diggs. And as good as he can be, that he's still got to compete with another alpha wide receiver. So it's a lot to ask him to hop Stephon Diggs this year, whereas Amon-Ra St. Brown, he could just be that guy. Yeah, I have no problems with it at all.
All right, let's move on to round 7 here. Devin Singletary last year, another guy who finished very strong versus Kareem Hunt, who has certainly the better body of work and has certainly been very valuable to those people as a flex RB in those PPR formats. So, Derek, let's go to you on this one to start. Kareem Hunt or Devin Singletary, who should you draft?
I'm going to go with Kareem Hunt on this one. And I'm curious because I think I might get some pushback from Erickson on this one. But I have Kareem Hunt as a top 30 running back right now. I have Devin Singletary, who is RB 38. And I think that if you're looking at paths to relevancy or a massive workload, Kareem Hunt has shown us he has a 3-down skill set. He has been efficient in the passing game. He's still going to have a massive red zone role on this Browns team. If anything were to happen and he is traded, we'd be looking at him as a 3-down workhorse running back, regardless probably of where he lands. I mean, outside of, he goes to some place where there's an installed, entrenched 3-down back. And he's shown us that in tandem with Chubb, he could be a top 24 running back. Singletary's not good in the passing game. The Bills showed us in this offseason they want James Cook. He's going to operate in that role for this team. So regardless of offensive context, quarterbacks, all that kind of stuff, I'm still going with Kareem Hunt.
All right, Andrew Erickson, Kareem Hunt or Devin Singletary, who should you draft?
Taking Devin Singletary, the starting running back for the Buffalo Bills, who did not play in the last preseason game because he's the starting running back for the Buffalo Bills. You know, top 5 running back in PPR over the final 6 weeks of last season, despite not having a role as a receiver. So, I mean, yeah, like the ultimate upside, if you want, okay, I need to get a top 5 running back in round 7. Okay, it would be Kareem Hunt, but a lot of things have to fall in place. He has to get traded or someone else has to get cut. Nick Chubb needs to get hurt. I mean, he's still going to be behind Nick Chubb if he stays on the Browns, who may not have Deshaun Watson the entire season, mm-hmm. where you have Devin Singletary, who's a starting running back on a top 5 offense that goes outside the top 30 running backs. It's blasphemy. And the Bills are telling us right now that he's our guy on early downs and in the red zone. Like, he's going to be one scoring touchdowns. So it wasn't a big deal at the end of last year when he was a top 5 running back and wasn't catching passes, but now it is. I'm taking Singletary.
Well, finally, I get to break the tie. I've been waiting almost a half hour for this. It was worth the wait on this one. Kareem Hunt is the better talent. Kareem Hunt is the better asset. But without Deshaun Watson, I have legitimate concerns of what this Cleveland offense can really be. Therefore, I am once again going to go to the Big E route, the ecosystem, not you, Erickson. I'm talking about the ecosystems here. Maybe we should call you Andrew Ecosystem. Maybe we should change the name to that. But I will tell you this. I was somebody who had a lot of Singletary last year, picked him up. It was very good. It was very apparent watching him that he was the go-to guy. I think Cook is going to work himself in. I think it's going to be more of a slow burn than people realize, but I'm with Erickson. He's the starting running back on the Buffalo Bills, and they're a Super Bowl contender. Why wouldn't I want that, especially when I can get it as RB3? So, Andrew Erickson, you have a friend in me. There you go. Just like the famous song. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FantasyPros, because no matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. All right, let's go to round eight, where there's a couple quarterbacks. If you punted on quarterback, it's a good chance these two guys are on the board. You're going to have to decide between them. They're going right neck and neck in ADP over on Fantasy Pros. Round eight, Derek Carr with his new old best friend, Devontae Adams, back in the fold, a healthy Darren Waller, a new head coach. Everything's coming up Millhouse for Derek Carr this year. Or Kirk Cousins with a new head coach who apparently they want to throw the ball a little bit more. And Kirk Cousins has been very consistent lately. So Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr, tell me, Andrew Erickson, who should I draft?
I changed just recently, honestly. So I would have said Kirk Cousins if you'd asked me a week ago, but now it's Derek Carr for me. And I think it starts with just looking at the schedule. Derek Carr opens against the Chargers and the Cardinals. Those are two shootouts where you could see him putting up big numbers. And we're in kind of a late round QB territory, so it's important to look at the early season matchups. Like, you're going to start Carr if you draft him as your late round quarterback. So I want him in favorable matchups. And then I'm looking at the touchdown upside with Derek Carr. We talked about Dalvin Cook earlier. If Dalvin Cook scores 16 rushing touchdowns, then that's inherently not going to benefit Kirk Cousins. Whereas Derek Carr, we have no idea what the heck is going on with Josh Jacobs in this backfield. Like, we don't know if they're going to run the football in or they're just going to throw it to Devontae Adams. It would make sense. They paid to get Adams. They traded a boatload to get him. Let's get him some touchdowns. I mean, Darren Waller, red zone monster. Hunter Renfrow was a red zone monster last year. I mean, Derek Carr's touchdown rate last year, 3.7%, was below his career average of 4.3. Mm-hmm. 23 passing touchdowns were 7 below expectation. If he does not somehow throw for at least 30 touchdowns with Adams, I will be super surprised. I will be blown away. And if you look at every quarterback last year that finished with at least 30 passing touchdowns, inside the top 10. So for me, it's Derek Carr.
I'm glad you brought up that expected touchdown total, because that was something when I was researching Carr going into the season that, you know, just blew my mind. Is that, well, you know, it really just was so low last year by what should have been. And thinking about now adding a red zone weapon like Devontae Adams, with history being so good, like the best, even right, the best guy there, man, the sky could be the limit. But once again, Kirk Cousins does have a little bit more of that cushion, that feel like, okay, we've kind of seen it already. And last year it was very good. And what Kirk Cousins did last year finally was get off to a good start, Derek Brown. So Erickson's talking about good starts. If you go back 2 years ago and even 3 years ago to Kirk Cousins, September is not his friend. He is not an Earth, Wind, and Fire fan. He does not like September. All of a sudden, it takes mid-October for him to start getting better. So Kirk Cousins in this new offense, or Derek Carr in his new offense, Derek Brown, who should you draft?
I'll lean with Derek Carr as well, and I have them back-to-back in my rankings. So again, I like both of these guys. They're QB2s with fringe QB1 upside, but I'm going to go with Carr here because, again, like Erickson talked about, if we're this high on Dalvin Cook, we think touchdown regression is going to hit for him, then ipso facto, we need to be a little bit lower maybe on the passing attack for Kirk Cousins and the touchdown upside. But the other part of this is that if we love Justin Jefferson, that's not debatable. Adam Thielen, if he takes another step back and if Irv Smith doesn't jump up in this pecking order, help out in the passing attack, it's going to be Justin Jefferson and maybe Dalvin Cook, and then what else? I mean, KJ Osborne has flashed, but really, does he have the upside to really help out the touchdown column for Kirk Cousins if Thielen takes another step back? I don't have those questions about the Raiders. Like, Darren Waller is going to see less coverage with Devontae Adams on the field. We still have Hunter Renfrow. The preseason, we're watching Keelan Cole do Keelan Cole type of things. If he can take over and be the field stretcher, at least situationally, then we could see Derek Carr go back to what he did last year, and he was crushing. He was a top 12 fantasy quarterback before everything happened with Henry Ruggs, and then the deep threat went away for this team. I think that that is one of the things that kind of unlocks the real, real upside for Derek Carr, because they need a field stretching threat. Davante Adams, as good as he is, we don't look at him as like always this deep weapon. Can he win that way? Sure. But I think that the tertiary receivers for the Raiders could be the key to unlocking like Carr's true upside.
3 for 3. Yet again, I'm going to go with Derek Carr. The only reason I end up seeming to get more Kirk Cousins on my teams is because everybody knows I draft Justin Jefferson. So I end up saying, look, if I've got Justin Jefferson, I might as well have Kirk Cousins too, and just live the dream and connect those two guys. But if you don't have Justin Jefferson on your team and you don't have that investment, then I think Derek Carr is the way to go. I do think they are going to be very pass happy, especially in the red zone, which is what Andrew says. And I will say this too, to some of the points Derek's making and Andrew's making, that it feels also like, you know, just because you have Dalvin Cook around there, sometimes Dalvin Cook helps pad some of those passing stats. You know, he's a guy that you dump the ball off and next thing you know, he's gone for 40 yards and a touchdown. So he can help and aid some of that as well. But I do lean Derek Carr. My goodness, I can't believe it. I'm so happy that you guys have finally got on the Derek Carr bandwagon with me. I felt alone for so long. It's nice to have company for a change. Round 9. Oh boy. Here we go. Drake London, wide receiver of the Atlanta Falcons. Hopefully that knee is okay. Or Alan Lazard. Neither of these guys have we really seen do it yet, quote unquote. Lazard's been in the league for a few years. We all know that. It looks like he's certainly got the path to opportunity. Opportunity, as long as health works out, should not be a problem with Drake London. I know the answer, but I'm going to ask Derek Brown anyway. Drake London or Alan Lazard, who should you draft?
I really like Alan. It's Drake London. Come on, baby. You know
you didn't
this.
Even sell it good enough. I got you. You could have really gone for the Lazard thing.
I could have. Really I could have. Yeah. I couldn't allow myself to do that. I mean, come on. People knew where I was going with this one. I have Drake London as a top 3 wide receiver, and that is sadly not the case for Alan Lazard. This comes down to a lot of different things. And we have not seen Alan Lazard be, and I understand Davante Adams has been there. He has not been a target commanding wide receiver in the entirety of his NFL career. If the Packers run slow this year and you're looking at, okay, even Alan Lazard sniffs a 20% target share, what is that going to mean, guys? Like, you're looking at 100, 110 targets, considering the Packers are one of the slowest offenses in the NFL. I don't think that's going to change. So unless Alan Lazard all of a sudden,
slow,
like,
but they are efficient with
their, they're very efficient.
That's the one thing you can say. I'm usually with you with the slow, but they are efficient.
They're efficient, but the reason Davante Adams has been so good is because the guy gobbles up targets, not because of passing volume. So if Lazard can't be that type of guy that commands the volume, gets a 25, 26% target share, just from a macro perspective, we're comparing totally different players from Drake London, who can command a 25, 26% target share in this offense, can easily outpace Lazard in targets this year. Yeah, I'm going to go with London. I'm going to go with talent. I'm going to go with target upside. This is not even a real conversation for me.
Well, they're really close in terms of ADP, so it's a conversation.
People are wrong.
I fear I'm going to be, you know, driving headfirst into the tunnel and there's a light at the end of it and Andrew Erickson is going to be driving the Drake London train. So instead, I'm going to go Alan Lazard before Erickson can give us the tiebreaker. And I'm going to say Lazard because opportunity is going to be there. Efficiency is going to be there. Aaron Rodgers has in the past taken wide receivers from relatively unknown facets and made them fantasy studs. And there's every opportunity for Lazard to do that. There's been confidence. There's been moments and tape that you can go watch when Davante Adams was not on the field of Alan Lazard stepping up in these moments. So to me, I think the confidence from Aaron Rodgers says a lot. I think the opportunity is there. And I keep coming back to my only concern. It's not Drake London's talent. I think Drake London's fantastic. Friedman's right. Brown's right. Drake London is a talent you definitely want to draft. And if your league, I will say, has keeper implications and you're in this round, draft Drake London instead of Alan Lazard, because you might want to end up keeping him next year. But if you're just trying to win a regular redraft league and there's no keeper implications, I want Lazard because I think he gives me the best chance to win this season in 2022. Andrew Erickson, all aboard the express. Who should you draft?
I mean, I'm going Lazard. I don't know why you thought that I was going to say Drake London. I mean, Look, wow. I think that the talent with London is super apparent, but we're talking fantasy football for 1 year, and he's attached to Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder.
And the O-line.
Like, look, I mean, I'm looking for in the late rounds of drafts, who has more touchdown upside, D-Bro? Who can catch double-digit touchdowns? Do you think Drake London's going to catch double-digit touchdowns for an offense that might throw 20 touchdowns next year? Mm. Like,
Are you putting double-digit touchdown upside for Alan Lazar? Because that's spicy as hell if you are.
He's 6'5", and he's wide receiver eight in PPR last five games. He caught 5 touchdowns in 5 games at the end of last year. So, okay. Of course he can hit 10 touchdowns. He's got a whole season to do it. I mean, look, I think London, also you need it in a PPR setting because you're hoping for passing volume. But I don't know, Joe, watching that preseason game, those quarterbacks were running for their life. Left and right. Not a lot of passing attempts.
Ryan's hand literally almost got ripped apart because he got knocked down, knocked out. Somebody stepped on his hand. I watched Matt Ryan last year on his back, it feels like, for 3/4 of the season. And I felt bad because he's old. And as someone who's old as well, you don't want to see the old guy get knocked around. It's no good. He deserves better. And now you're taking, and that's Matt Ryan, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl, a guy who's been a steady quarterback in the league for more than a decade. And now you throw Marcus Mariota, who's on his, fourth team now. I mean, and then Desmond Ridder, who, God bless him, like, I was a Desmond Ridder fan. If you listen to the College Football Show last year with Scott Bogman and myself on Betting Pros, I liked Desmond Ridder quite a bit. I was pushing for Desmond Ridder beginning of the season, too. I just can't get there this year. I want to win now. I think Lazard gives me the best win now, so... Man, this is great. I'm in such a good mood. Rest of the show doesn't matter now. This is great. Round 10, Chris Olave, Treylon Burks, 2 rookie wide receivers. Olave gets drafted by the Saints, Treylon Burks by the Tennessee Titans. Andrew Erickson, let's have you go first. 2 rookies diverged in a wood, and which one are you drafting?
I'm going to go with Burks here in round 10 because I think that even though Olave's probably median projection is probably safer than Burks, I think Burks has more boom potential in his offense because I think he can actually be the number one pass catcher on the Titans. I don't think Olave can be the number one pass catcher on the Saints. So I'm willing to take that, especially in round 10. I can draft Treylon Burks as a bench receiver. Like, I don't have to start him right away, kind of see how things play out because, I mean, we saw him playing in the 4th quarter of a preseason game. Like, there's a chance, like, in week 1, he's really doing nothing. So I don't want to rely on him to start, but it's pretty easy to see the path where we all excited about Burks when he first got drafted, where he is, you know, a light version of A.J. Brown in the Titans offense as a yards after the catch monster. Whereas Olave, I think Olave's going to always pop like here and there when the Saints have some high octane games. But, you know, he's always going to be, you know, competing for targets with Landry, Michael Thomas underneath. And I feel like Olave's never going to be super consistent. Whereas once Burks kind of gets unlocked and like Mike Vrabel's like, all right, we're going to get you involved, you're going to feel good about having Burks down the stretch. So I'll take the boomer bust guy with Burks as a bench receiver in round 10.
All right, Derek Brown, Chris Olave, or Treylon Burks, 2 very talented rookies. Who should you draft, though, for redraft this year?
So, again, I'm going to coin an Erickson phrase here. If you would have asked me this about a week ago, I would have told you Treylon Burks because of all the points that Erickson laid out here. I'm going to lean with Chris Olave here, and I get that he has got more target competition. Absolutely. I am really scared this Titans offense could legitimately be bad this year. Like, they are teetering on... look at all their skill players. Like, they're asking Treylon Burks to be A.J. Brown. Regardless of whatever we think he can do that or not, they're going to ask it out of him. Now, whether he's up to snuff and he can handle the challenge, we'll see. But Robert Woods is a declining player coming off an ACL. Who in the heck do they have after him? Nick Westbrook? No. Austin Hooper is not a dynamic talent. They're going to run the ball a ton. Ryan Tannehill with Todd Downing at the controls showed for a lot of last year, he was pretty, pretty bad. Whereas we have Jameis Winston in a small sample last year, was chucking the ball deep, was one of the best deep passers in the game last year. His big-time throw rate was awesome. His A-dot was up. I think the Saints are going to throw more than people understand this year, and if the offensive line bounces back some, Winston's going to have time in the pocket to do so. Now, Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry are absolute target issues, as well as Alvin Kamara. That's not debatable. But I think we also need to give a little lean to Chris Olave's talent here. If we're going to talk about Burks' talent, Chris Olave, I think he's going to be used as the field stretcher. And I think we could see more spike weeks based off of what Winston wants to do, a Saints offense that's going to be better and throw more this year. And Olave, we saw him succeed as a deep threat. I mean, a ton of his, again, head over to my stat series for the Saints on the site. A lot of his production came both deep down the field, both in his receiving touchdowns and his receiving yardage in college. I think that's the role that he's going to serve for the Saints. So, yeah, if you'd asked me this a week ago, I would have gone with Burks based off of a volume and all those different things. I'm going to lean Olave here.
Well, to quote Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown, if you had asked me this a few weeks ago, it would have very easily been Chris Olave. And the more I see Michael Thomas and the more reports are getting better and the more I start drafting him, feeling good about the value I'm getting, the less Olave-centric my teams are becoming lately. And that's something that I've been really noticing. And, you know, I know everyone keeps telling me I'm crazy, but they told me I was crazy last year when I said Mac Jones was going to be the starting quarterback. I'm not saying Malik Willis is going to start the season. I'm saying at some point in time, I think we might see Malik Willis, and that might make me a little bit more excited about this Tennessee offense. And Treylon Burks was a beast in college, a beast. Okay. And I think people get a little disappointed sometimes. He didn't end up in a high power offense, but I think there's a path here for them. And unfortunately, with Michael Thomas on the rebound and Jarvis Landry looking healthy, my Olave love is starting to tick down a little bit. I still draft him. I still love him. I think it's going to go Treylon Burks for me right now. So once again, siding on the other end of this one. Let's go now a little rapid fire. We're going to go pick up the pace in these last few rounds because you should be very clear about your targets and why as you get to the stage. Everybody wants to make sure they target their guys, quote unquote. So let's start in round 11 here. Damian Pierce, Houston Texans running back, or Nyheim Hines, the pass catching specialist for the Colts. I know, Derek Brown, when you ask this question, these are two very different situations, but who should you draft for your fantasy team?
It's Damian Pierce. And this one should not be close for people. He has a three down skill set. He has three down upside. I don't care that it's the Texans. Damian Pierce, my comp, was Kareem Hunt when he came out as a prospect. I'm riding with Pierce, baby.
Ooh, very, very confident. Derek Brown, Damian Pierce. Are you that confident in this selection here in this round? Andrew Erickson, Damian Pierce, or Nyheim Hines?
100% behind Damian Pierce, because unless Frank Reich, unless you're listening to the podcast right now, he's the only one that knows when to start Nyheim Hines, because he's the only one that knows when he gets used in the offense on the game plan. So
I think that's giving him too much credit.
Yeah. You just never know when you can start Nyheim Hines. Like, this happens every single year. We pick him off the waiver wire. He has a big week one, and then he disappears for 3 weeks. You drop him, and then it just, you never know. Whereas Pierce, if he takes over the backfield, boom, you got a starting running back with a three-down skill set who's been efficient every time he's on the football field.
I've heard the Nyheim Hines things for years. I just can't do it. I can't buy into it. Every year it's like, oh, I'm going to get more Nyheim Hines in the offense. And you do for like three games. And again, if you can figure out which three games those are, call me or hit me up on Twitter at JoePizzaPS17 and I'll play him in DFS. Other than that, no. Give me Damian Pierce. I'll take the shot at the guy who might have the backfield. All right, let's pretend you got all the way to the 12th round. You haven't drafted a tight end yet, which sounds like most of my rosters. We have Irv Smith, who hopefully is going to be ready week one, or I'm going to try my best here. I've been practicing. Albert Okwuegbunam. Did I do it? Am I okay? Did I make it through? Am I still here?
Bingo.
Derek Brown's giving me the thumbs up. I'm trying so hard. So here we go. Who should you draft? Andrew Erickson between these two. I can't say Andrew Erickson, but I can say Albert Okwuegbunam. Andrew Erickson. Who should I draft?
Albert Okwuegbunam. That's who you should draft. Third highest target rate per route run last year behind only Darren Waller and George Kittle. I just think that he offers a more explosive profile than Irv Smith, who we just really haven't seen in a while. And when you look at these two offenses, yes, there is a chance that the Vikings pass a little bit more than the Broncos do. But Albert O, I mean, we are just begging for this type of profile to have a bigger role. And I know like they drafted Greg Dulcich, but he's a friggin' rookie tight end. Like, rookie tight ends don't really ever do a lot. Like, last year, like, totally broke the mold. So I'm on Albert O. They run a lot of two tight end sets with Nathaniel Hackett anyway. So for me, it's going to be Albert O. And I think that the Tim Patrick injury is actually huge for him because it gives him another path to more touchdown upside as a big size specimen in that offense alongside Courtland Sutton.
Yeah, the Tim Patrick injury to me really shoots Albert O ahead of Irv Smith, but maybe Derek Brown sees it differently. And I'm with you too. Dulcich doesn't, I was not impressed with his combine. To me, he wasn't. Last year, we were spoiled. We can't go looking every single year that all of a sudden we're going to get these rookie tight ends that just come on the scene and become fantasy impact players. It's not historically what happens. Derrick Brown, Albert O, Irv Smith. I know you like them both, but who do you want to draft?
I love both of them, but doubling down on my bold prediction, it's Albert Okwuegbunam, guys. Come on, let's go. Talent, offense, all these things. It's Albert O'Sizzon.
All right, here we go. Round 13. Old Man River, Julio Jones. One more time, the farewell tour like Metallica for the, I don't know, third or fourth time here. Or George Pickens, the young whippersnapper who has been the talk of Steelers camp. Derrick Brown, you want to go old school or new school here? Pickens or Julio?
This man just said whippersnapper in the year of our Lord, 2022.
Well, what did you say ipso facto? Did you say that before? Is that what you
ipso
said?
Ipso facto? Yeah.
No, ipso facto. I think that's a new segment on the show. Ipso facto, where you teach me a fact about something.
Golly. All right. Well, I'm going to go with Julio Jones. I think old reliable still has some juice left in the tank. I'm going to buy into a really good offense. And I get that the George Pickens hype is real. I understand that people just love all the preseason videos. They love watching him shove guys down when he's blocking, but he's the fourth or fifth option on a freaking offense led by Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. You need to pump the brakes on all of this damn hype. Really need to pump the brakes, people.
I will take the opposite end. I don't think he's the fifth option on this team. I don't think he's the fourth option on this team. I think George Pickens, by the time we start things, is going to be a legitimate option on this team. George Pickens is that good. George Pickens was that good at Georgia. I think Kenny Pickett might be better than people realize. I really do. And let me tell you this. I'll take the guy who's on the field, which is something Julio Jones was not last year. I'm not drinking this Kool-Aid that all of a sudden Julio Jones is healthy enough to go play 16 games, 17 games. No, no, no. So it sounds good in theory. I love Julio Jones. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I want to see. I want the morbid curiosity of the rookie and the buzz. Maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. Andrew Erickson, shake me out of it. Who is it? Is it Julio or is it George Pickens?
I mean, George Pickens wasn't on the field that much either last year. So, you know, just to be clear.
It's because they were up by 30 points.
Okay,
when he was challenging those games with Alabama.
He's still hurt.
George Pickens was showing up there last time I checked that second game against Alabama.
The reason he was available the second round is because he was always hurt. Like, okay, so they're both injury prone, okay? So
yes, but one is 20-something and one's 120-something.
That's fair. So. But I believe in the talent of George Pickens, so I'm with you there, Joe. But the offensive situation for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm just like not. I mean, that's the reason I'm not drafting Deontay Johnson. Like, it's the reason it's like fair. Starting
but
to
George
fade
Pickens
away.
Is free.
George that's Pickens true. But are you going to start in week one? Like Julio Jones, we know is going to.
I don't
be
think
productive.
I'm going to start Julio Jones week one.
Why not? When he was
why not?
On the field last
I don't know
year, when healthy,
make it to week one. That's why.
Okay. So yeah, obviously, if he doesn't make it to week one, you don't draft him because he's already hurt. So, but Julio Jones, when he was healthy last year, 2.2 yards per route run, 22% target share. Like, if Chris Godwin's not playing, Russell Gage is kneeling an injury. I mean, everyone else on the Buccaneers is hurt right now. So right now, Julio Jones is the number one. So for me, I'm going with Julio, and I'll ride him out in the beginning, and then I'll pick up Pickens after he gets dropped because he's playing on a crappy offense, and he's nasty, and then I'll pick him up after Julio gets hurt. So yeah, best of both worlds. But if I'm drafting one guy, I'm going to draft Julio.
I can't believe you're having your cake and eating it, too. You're so greedy. All
How
right,
do you think I feel my muscles, dude?
Round 14.
Need the
Rondell
carbs.
Moore, who apparently is going to get a lot more action this year for the Cardinals, or Jameson Williams, who, oh goodness, the talent of Jameson Williams makes me very excited for fantasy football in 2022 and beyond, but the injury is something to be concerned with. So Andrew Erickson, do you want to draft Rondell Moore and hope that he gets off to a hot start when Hopkins isn't around? Or do you want to draft Jameson Williams and hope that he's a guy that can win you a league down the stretch? Who should you draft?
I mean, I'm drafting Rondell Moore. I can't draft Jameson Williams if he's not going to play till November. And I don't even know what the Lions situation is going to be like. Whereas Rondell Moore has all the opportunity in the world to hit the ground running without Hopkins in the lineup. So Moore can really kind of jet fuel your lineup as a late receiver that you could potentially end up starting in the early parts of the season. And I wrote off Debo Samuel, you know, after his season where he had a super low ADOT. And that was a lesson I learned. I was like, you know what? You can't write off these electrifying playmakers that can make plays in space because their coaches use them in a weird way. And that's what happened with Debo. you know, 2 years ago, where basically he had a running back ADOT, and that was Rondale Moore last year. So I'm buying into them using him in different ways, you know, as that stretch vertical in the slot type of receiver. So, I mean, there is a outcome where Rondale Moore actually is like the number one, and it's not Marquise Brown to start the year. Like, Moore is a talented guy. It's just really been injuries in the way he's been used. So round 14 for a guy that could sneakily lead the Cardinals in targets with Kyler Murray. Like, yeah, I'm going to take that over a guy that I love, Jameson Williams, but dude's not gonna be ready till like November. And that's a lot to hold on to for a very long, at that point, your season might be over. You might be out of the playoffs already.
Not you. You won't be out of the playoffs.
Oh no, not me. Because I won't draft Jameson Williams, but no.
Derek Brown, will you be gone to November with Jameson Williams, or will you hit the ground running with Rondale Moore?
I'm going to side with Jameson Williams here. Is a guy that I keep talking about could be the late season hammer. I get the concerns for him, but we still don't have definitive health reports about when he's going to come back. And if they're going to take it slow with him, when he gets on the field, I still believe in the talent, and I believe that he has that stretch run upside. Whereas Rondale Moore, like, we could see him establish himself in this passing attack. That could absolutely happen, and the other side of the coin is absolutely true. He could fizzle out. He could do nothing this year. Greg Dortch has been the talk of Arizona Cardinals camp. And no, I'm not trying to anoint him as the slot wide receiver, but
whoa, you just got an eye roll from AE right here.
Come on.
That's fine, man. But look, here's the thing.
I haven't seen what the is eye roll ever.
he was resting because he's actually going to play.
Look, I like Rondale Moore. Don't get me wrong. Okay. But when Hopkins comes back, we still have Zach Ertz. Can we still say the other side of the coin is definitively true, Erickson? Like, Rondale Moore could be buried as the fourth option in this passing attack and still be a part-time wide receiver if they go more 12 personnel heavy with Ertz and McBride there.
Yeah, but you're never going to get to find out because you're going to have your roster spot filled with Jameson Williams that you can't get rid of till November. Like, you're going to hold Jameson Williams
for
that long.
Are you definitively, like, okay, let's throw this out here. Is he definitively not going to play in November? Show me the report where he's not coming back until November.
Why would they rush him back? That makes literally no sense.
They don't have to rush him back. We're not even close to week one.
I have the answer for that. It's one word. And if you watch Hard Knocks, you know what it is.
Grit?
It's grit.
Yeah.
That's why.
I haven't even watched it. I just guessed.
Grit. Here's the question I ask myself when I look at these two players. Do I want the first 6 weeks of Rondale Moore, who might turn into a pumpkin when Hopkins comes back, or do I want the last 6 weeks of Jameson Williams? I want the last 6 weeks potentially of Jameson Williams.
He's gonna get dropped.
Early in the year, I can
he's gonna
fill
get dropped.
Those
he's gonna get fine. Dropped.
That's fine. Well, I'll pick him up then wherever I don't draft him. All right. We've got more to do. I'm so glad. This was a slow burn, this show. First, it was agreement. By the end of it, nobody likes
it. We're arguing round 14 picks.
I know. This is
you love it. You gotta love it.
But these are the ones that win and lose you league sometimes. All right, last one. This is for fun, and then we'll hit a mailbag, and then we'll get out of here. Super safe round 15, Jacoby Myers, Andrew Erickson, or Romeo Dubs, the buzz of talk of camp right now.
Please,
where are you
Erickson.
Going, Erickson?
Please, Erickson.
I'm not drafting Jacoby Myers in round 15. Like, that's not happening. That's the double condom move. I'm not doing Jacoby Myers in round 15. Like, that's wow. Like what? Like, I'm gonna hope that he continues his middling production as a wide receiver.
He said it.
Wow. I mean, what's the upside with Jacoby Myers? Everything is, his situation is just worse around. Like, he has more target competition than he's ever had. And when he's been the leading receiver for the Patriots the last 2 years, he's been like a fringe wide receiver three. Does that make a difference? No, it doesn't matter. Whereas Romeo Dubs, look, man, as a day three pick, he checks off a lot of boxes of things that
we
got to
get this name straight. I believe it is Dubs. It is Dubs.
As in,
I think it's Dubs.
I've been eating Dubs. Okay.
As in,
it's
okay.
Dubs.
Yeah.
It's not Dobbs because there was a little narrative there for like 30 seconds that it was Dubs. It's Dubs. So you're going Dubs. Yeah. I'm going Dubs. I just drafted him in flex.
Yeah.
Because I said, look, either works out or I drop him in week two and three and move on. Like, it's fine. Like, that to me is the difference. If I get that right, that's a huge swing for me. All right, so that's two right now. You want to make it a clean sweep to end the show, or you want to end on a down note here, D-Bro?
I'm not going to end on a down note. I'm going to go with talent, guys. I'm not going to go with the hype. Get out of here with all this. I'm going with Jacoby Myers.
Oh, okay.
He is a guy that we have seen. Nobody puts enough respect on this man's name. I get the Devontae Parker. We want to talk about like a guy that's not going to make it past week six. That's perfectly Devontae Parker.
I'll take Devontae Parker to play more games than Julio Jones this year. We can take that bet now.
That's fine. We don't need to have that discussion. But
well, I think we just did.
I think we need to understand the talent that Jakobi Meyers is, and he was a top 40 wide receiver. And here's the other thing, and I need to back a little bit.
Top 40? What is that? Doesn't move the needle. Why does that matter?
Okay, hold up. Let's get something straight here. So you're higher on consensus and you want Al Mazar, but you also think that Romeo Doubs is going to like break out? Is it going to be both Erickson?
Take them both and then
That's not my point. You're also higher on Lazard and Doubs. Is it going to be both guys?
Romeo is kind of like, you know, when you buy tickets for something and they sell you that extra $20 you can buy, you know, the insurance. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it is. Like, it doesn't cost you that much, but you have kids. I have kids. You know, all of a sudden, if somebody gets a fever, somebody gets sick, all of a sudden you can't go to that show or whatever. Kind of feels like that's what Romeo Doubs is.
He's
that Alliance like, insurance. That's what it is.
Man, you know what? I think it's hilarious how the fourth round rookie that's been on the field and we've seen him catching balls from Jordan Love. Everybody just loves this guy. Although the second round wide receiver who is now back in practice, balled out, crushed the combine, went in the second round in the NFL draft. Everybody hates this guy, but they want to go with Doubs. I'm going with Myers here, man. Like, look, we saw the production last year. He is top in win rate. He was uber efficient. I'm going to side with efficiency. And if we're looking at a breakout guy, give me him over what a player that could be this year's Marquez Callaway. Nah, not going with it.
Mm-mm. All right. Who'd have thought we'd get to the end of the show and we'd get so contentious and the two guys
for 14
who are Patriot
and 15.
Fans would be going against Jakobi Meyers in favor of a Packer. I don't know how we got here, but I'm glad we did.
Because we know the truth, man.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's do a mailbag question. Courtesy of our Discord, go to fantasypros.com/chat to check it out today. It's free to look, but if you want to be a premium subscriber, you get access to the AMAs, the Discords, and a lot more. I'm going to paraphrase this question from Arsenic. They want to know, am I right to think that Trey Lance's risk-reward ratio is very different in Superflex? I'm going to cut this question short here. I think it absolutely is, and I want to take that risk because I think the reward is worth it. I want to be aggressive on Trey Lance. If you looked in the last few weeks of some of the, quote, expert analyst league drafts you'd see in those Superflex leagues, they're taking that risk. Erickson, do you believe in that risk as well?
I do. I think the all rushing right, is there, and that's going to work for him.
Derek Brown, 3-for-3 on this one.
Easily. Trey Lance is the risk-reward. Jalen Hurts at 2022.
Coming back together. The team came back together over Trey Lance. It's a beautiful thing. This was good. So, see, we fooled you. We thought everyone was going to play nice. But by the end, we got there, as we always do. You tell us who you think between these guys you would draft and wouldn't. Drop those comments down below in the YouTube if you're watching there. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel over at Fantasy Pros and click that little bell for notifications. And don't forget to check out the new tool that is going to change the rest of your drafts from now to the end of time. Get the secret intel on your leagues with Draft Intel. Go to fantasypros.com/draftintel. Find out what your league mates are really up to, what their patterns are, their tendencies, their tells, just like in poker, and then use them against them. And then you can even mock against them and train yourself. If you go to fantasypros.com/offers, make a deposit, get 6 free months of the premium Fantasy Pros, take you all the way through season, draft kit, preseason, draft tools, not to mention all the in-season tools as well. And of course, all that draft intel, go check it out right now. fantasypros.com/offers. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Buffalo Wild Wings. Book your draft party today at buffalowildwings.com/fantasy. They've got all the food, all the drinks, all the fun you could possibly imagine. So take your league to Buffalo Wild Wings, do your fantasy football draft, and have a blast. Again, that's buffalowildwings.com/fantasy to get that done. Also, don't forget about running that league that you just booked at Buffalo Wild Wings over at Fantrax. Head over to fantrax.com/fantasypros to sign up today, and you and your league might win the Fantrax game day experience and go to the NFL game of your choice along with $6,000 in your pocket. That's fantrax.com/fantasypros. Move your league, create a new league at Fantrax today. And of course, don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code fantasypros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is a protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. I will always draft you two guys. I love you guys. That'll do it for us. For Derrickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl goes shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.